evening.
Here.
We do have a quorum. I would like to take up first committee substitute for Senate Bill 441, the Hess Committee Substitute, an act involving the restraint of a minor by Senator DeVries. Senator DeVries, please join us.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Senator DeVries. I represent the Donut District. This piece of legislation is another filling in the gap on the child abuse and restraint legislation that's been working. It sort of ties with the child crime unit that we have passed out of the Senate. It fills in a gap that is presently in the law where there's a charge of kidnapping, but there's nothing in between. And so what this would do then would make the enticement of a minor when someone went to a playground to entice that child to get into the car or something that's not their legal guardian. We did add the amendment on line 20 at the request of the Department of Health and Social Services so that they would not come under this requirement. It is a piece of legislation that the SLAM, the Society League Against Molestation, which is a national society, has recommended. We have in our office petitions signed by 659 people in the Anchorage Eagle River area that are in support of this piece of legislation. On line 15, has been pointed out to me that we should reverse the order of conceal and temporarily, and I am amenable to that.
Draft a Judiciary Committee amendment that we can read with the bill as it comes before, rather than take the time for a Judiciary Committee substitute.
Sure.
The committee council will draft the amendment to on line 15, place the word conceal in front of the word temporary. So, as Senator Ziegler has pointed out to us, we do not have a split incentive.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Ziegler.
Senator Reese, I know we're ready to move the bill. Do you want a motion to move it now in the amended form?
Yes.
Individual recommendations also move.
Well, 1 second. Mr. Eskich, I'm sorry, did you have a comment on this?
Yes, The amendment that the senator is referring to in line 20 about not applying to employees of the Department of Health and Social Services, we definitely applaud that. We would strongly urge the committee to consider language which would include police officers as well, as in many areas of the state, there are no DFYS employees readily available, and in fact, the statute requires police officers to take emergency custody of a child if the child's, you know, safety is threatened. And by its literal language, there is no exception for a police officer acting in his official duty to physically to protect the child. And I would think language along the lines of does not apply to government employees acting in their official child protection capacity or something of that
generic, the broadest possible generic language.
Yeah. And I also suggest in a technical matter that C and D be reversed, but that's a very minor technical matter. In other words, usually the penalty section is the last section.
Right. And I think when we did the committee substitute, they just tacked it on.
Sure.
And so drafting. So I don't have any problem with either one of those changes.
Okay, we'll obviously have to draft a substitute, which I hope to avoid, but that being the case.
I have a question for Senator DeVries, Mr. Chairman.
You have the floor, sir.
You said that there was a big gap after you came to kidnapping.
Or before you get to kidnapping, I guess.
Well, don't we have a statute against child stealing someplace? Don't I remember that someplace?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, there is a statute that talks about the unlawful taking of a child, mm-hmm. That's referring to yeah. by the parent or the guardian.
See,
it doesn't refer to a stranger or acquaintance.
I just wanted to get my easy recollection refreshed. Okay. Thank you. I'll renew my motion if we get the committee substitute.
The draft committee substitute with and the language would number D, I think you're correct, as long as we're doing draft committee substitute, reverse C and D, this section does not apply to employees of any governmental unit
acting in their
capacity.
Could say something like, does not apply to
governmental employees acting in their official child protection capacity.
Within the scope of their official duties, I'd like to, please to argue.
Or you could say, performing duties as authorized under, except a lot of times, police officers will do things for public safety and protection, they're not specifically authorized in any, you know, Title 47, it's just that they're public safety.
Nor might it even be child protection, in some cases, it is conceivable that might be the case, there might be some other reason, so as long as it's pursuant to their official duties, it would seem that that broadest possible language would be the best. Up here, when you have that ready for us as soon as possible. Yeah, I just wanted to mention one other thing. I didn't want to slow the bill up, but there is a problem that I've been dealing with that comes specifically out of my constituency, and that is there is presently no method to require a minor to take drug treatment, and it is a problem that has been posed by the task group in Anchorage. I think it's well taken. And if I'm trying to work on some language, and this is would be an ideal vehicle for it. I don't know if I have the language ready in time. I did speak with the prime sponsor. I may attach that as an amendment on the floor, but I don't want to slow the bill down to do it. It is a significant problem because under the law of Alaska, one has to get what's called a China petition, child needs of age, or have a child become delinquent, or have a child convicted of a crime, or that child can be required to attend a drug treatment program. It is one of those loopholes that certainly is not in the best interest of the children or the adults of the state. I'm trying to find
right, especially
language.
Parents want to get their children taken care of,
yes.
And then find that that's against the law. It's difficult. That's for sure. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Senator, your motion was then to adopt the committee substitute as proposed. Is there any objection to adoption of that committee substitute? Hearing none, the committee substitute is adopted. Is there a motion on the main bill?
Individual recommendation.
Senator Ziegler has moved that we pass Senate Bill 441 from committee with individual recommendations. We've heard the motion. Is there any objection to that motion? Hearing none, the bill is passed from committee with individual recommendations. As soon as the committee substitute is drafted, I will circulate that to all members of the committee so they might sign it. Next, I would like to bring up House Bill 516 by Representative Bloomberg. Representative Bloomberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate your courtesy in doing this. We're in session, so I'll just be very brief. This is a bill that came about as a result of the impeachment hearings in the Senate last summer. I researched the statutes, and there are presently statutes in the Supreme Court chapter and the Superior Court chapter that implement the constitutional provision concerning the impeachment of judges. However, I think through oversight, from what I can see, there never was a similar statute adopted for the Court of Appeals or for the District Court. And this is identical language that we put in for the Court of Appeals in Section 1 and for the District Court in Section 2. And so the four court levels will have identical impeachment statutes. The other provision in the bill, Section 3, amends the statute that governs the disqualification of a judicial officer for cause. This was worked out very carefully with attorneys and the judicial system. There was informal discussions taken with judges all over the state by the judiciary, and we incorporated their suggestions. We've incorporated the present language. We've incorporated language from the Judicial Canons of Ethics, which in certain circumstances make it unethical to act, but don't allow you to disqualify a judge for cause. And this modernizes the disqualification statute and brings it up to date to cover certain circumstances where they're not now covered. For example, if a judge represented a party, they're disqualified for cause. But if they represented somebody against the party, they are not disqualified for cause, and even in that action previously. So what we're doing is just modernizing and updating the disqualification statute. This did not have any opposition in the House. Most members of the Judiciary Committee co-sponsored it, and it passed very strongly. I would urge that it be passed. I have a letter from the Carla Forsyth. dated March 24th, Chief General Counsel for the Court System. The Alaska Supreme Court, in its administrative capacity, has reviewed your proposed amendments to HB 516, and that was a committee draft, an act relating to the impeachment of certain judges and the disqualification of judges for cause. The amendments contained in the 22686 draft appear to create no administrative, procedural, or fiscal difficulties for the court system. If you have any questions about the court system's position, please let me know. Sincerely, Carmel Forsythe. And she and I had worked on the draft on that, so, and if you have any answer, any questions?
Are there any questions for Mr. Grunberg?
Well done, Max.
Thank you, sir. It's a bizarre piece of legislation. What I would like to do is, as we were doing, put this in the bill ready file. And we have several more days here. And your rules chairman, of course, will, I'm sure, see the swift file there. I know you do.
Your comments are not going on now, Ms. Senators. Thank you, may I be excused?
Yeah, sure.
Good show, Mayor.
Funny is we rely on the computer, we're finding more errors.
Yeah.
I wonder what's going on.
If there's no, we'll check this. If there's no other referral, I can put it in the bill ready file. Someone. That'll tell that joke. Why? I'd like to bring up House Bill 544. Is there someone here from Representative Phillips' office?
I'm here, but I better go get him. We don't
know about. Fine, we'll.
You want to wait?
We'll proceed to another board and come back. Mr. Taylor, would you please join us?
Thank you, Senator.
At yesterday's meeting, we discussed House Bill 506 at some length. I spoke with several members of the group that was at the meeting yesterday and had testified. At this time, have you worked out agreeable language?
Yes, we have, Senator. I do not have that language with me because the amendments that have been agreed to by the parties are somewhat extensive, and they had actually just drawn some language for those amendments. We've just been down the hall using the Senator Ziegler's office for that purpose, I think probably the best way to proceed at this point is to have Dick Block sit here with you and go through that language. He can do it rather quickly as he has it all written out. We do not have it in a typewritten form at this point.
Obviously, time is of the essence, and if we do that,
or maybe he could just give it to you more in generic form.
Generically, and we'll see it typed. We'll see it in a typed up form, and perhaps that's a better time to take more time with it than this. So.
Well, it's at a clean position as far as all the parties are concerned, and I can give you quickly this rundown. They've eliminated the REAs, unincorporated associations, and those other groups that might allow private enterprise, and leaving only municipalities and school districts primarily, including regional attendance areas. They also will have the authority to do workers' compensation. However, within certain limitations, those being that they must carry their excess coverage with an approved carrier, they also must have certain reserve requirements and have agreed to statutory accounting principles and regulation by the insurance commissioner's office to the extent of his review of their report. This involves, of course, many different changes within the bill to accomplish that, but I think he can very quickly show you that, and if you'd rather not do it in that fashion, we can give it to you in a written form, but it's probably within a couple hours.
Brief comments now, and then
So I'm going to have to run, Senator. Thank you for your indulgence.
Chairman Rohde, my name is Richard Bott, President of Alaska National Insurance Company. Really much of what Representative Taylor has said is correct. We've been working through yesterday and today with representatives of the Municipal League and with the representatives of the School Board Association. We've also included the valuable assistance of the Director of the Division of Insurance and the Director of the Division of Risk Management for the state. And as a result of these discussions, we've come up with a program that I believe permits these governmental agencies to provide a program for their property, their liability, and their workers' compensation coverage that tracks with apparent trends in the rest of the country, that allows these organizations to enter into pools, but also meets, I think, the state's general overall concern that they be financially responsible and properly funded. Since these organizations do not purport to want to put in capital as an insurance company might, there are some other types of restrictions that have been placed upon them, but I think they are ones that they can meet under generally expected circumstances, and if they did meet them, I think would provide a fairly secure approach to providing this coverage. Many of the amendments are simply to provide the kind of governmental oversight through the Division of Insurance of their activities and to provide the authority to insist that they have proper financial integrity. You know, I can stop right there, or I can go back and detail what those changes are to the existing bill.
It would probably be more helpful if we have the written copy in front of us before we dig in more detail.
All right, well, we just finished this, Senator Rohde, about 10 minutes ago. It will take us maybe an hour, a couple hours to get this thing typed up, and we can have it back at your pleasure after a couple of hours.
That'd be fine. Mr. Burgess, do you have any comments to make?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Scott Burgess, Last Municipal League. It's been an interesting process. We need a bill. We've got a program, and we've got a need out there that we're hopefully can translate into this legislation. Unfortunately, I'm in a situation as Tim Smith on my staff, as not being insurance experts. We think we've got agreement. We hope we still have a bill, and we hope we can still pass this year. We're dealing with a beast that not many people know about. I think the basic thing that comes down into indications, giving information, or it's available, there are 23 municipal leagues in other states that have group pools like this that write different lines of insurance. And when in reviewing those rules and regulations, it comes down to, yes, they're not defined as insurance companies for regulation purposes, but yet they still want to have the protections that in fact they are what they say they are in terms of money, because we're talking about insuring third parties. It's not just property. So if our piece of property goes up in smoke, we're talking about liability here, workers' comp, they're third parties, but in fact that we have the money to pay those claims. And to that degree, I think we're willing to submit to regulation in the sense of review by a department or division of insurance. And I think that that's where we're coming from in terms of our agreement. There's no question that we've given up a lot of things, and we'll see if those are problems. We may be back, but we hope we have a bill. We'll present it to you with the areas of agreement, but I think that's the basis.
You have my assurance that I will do everything to get to move that bill from committee as soon as possible. We'll have it, obviously have it ready for tomorrow, and we'll meet tomorrow as soon as we can to move the bill out. Senator Fakes.
You say there are 23 states that have county or municipal or parish insurance pools.
Yes. Municipal leagues.
Did the municipal league do the research to see how these others are working?
Yes.
What the relationship is with the Department of Insurance, Division of Insurance?
There's that other sheet too. Yes, we looked at some of their enabling legislation, and that's what I was trying to get across, that in fact the language that's in the bill, the existing bill that you're looking at, which was sort of bone of contention on page 2, line 5, regulation by the Division of Insurance, that is basically standard language in almost every one that I saw.
Right.
But the concern... Well, there is something called a reciprocal in the state that would allow municipalities to essentially form insurance companies. The problem with forming an insurance company, at least by municipalities, is the front-end load that would be required over and above the operation of the insurance company. And the reason we think that the municipalities, school districts, etc., are different is that we have the taxing authority of those bodies behind it. We're not in the profit-making motive. In fact, we will maintain our risk, because if we reduce our risks, the money that we save in premiums aren't paid out in losses go back to those members as opposed to profit. So we think that there's a different operation here, and therefore not subject to insurances and insurances and insurance. I don't know if I answered your question correctly,
well,
but we did review that.
The thing that amazes me, it looks like most of these other states did this 10 years ago on the average.
Mr. Chairman, can I respond to that? I think if I understand that, at least the concern there, we've been trying for six that I know of as far as the municipal league. We tried to do it through Title 29. We all know the problems we had with Title 29. We had group programs. We actually have a group program. It's not a pool.
Mr. Bridges, excuse me, if I may, is the problem the current state law?
Correct.
Is the problem, private sector?
Current state law does not permit.
That's correct.
Current state law?
Does not permit pooling. It allows municipalities to self-insure on their own, but not as a collective group.
Well, I thought we passed that bill out of here already this year.
You had 404, which was the Senate bill, comparable to this. It only provided for property insurance. This provides for all lines except health and life. And I think, title insurance. I don't want to get into that business.
It's actually a moneymaker.
Thank you.
We have had a soft market in the past, which have not made it possible for us to gather the interest of all our municipalities that we've been able to gather in the last couple of years. When they couldn't find insurance, all of a sudden they're calling us. And we have a program that grew, a group program, just that we collectively bought insurance, that grew from 10 to 80 members in the period of a year.
So, any further questions, Mr. Burgess?
Thank you very much.
Mr. Tiridor, you had some testimony you wished to offer the committee.
Yes, sir. I will do my best in 20 seconds or less. For the record, my name is Martin Tiridor, and I represent Blue Cross of Washington in Alaska. This bill, as we understand it, is designed to fill a void that's left by the lack of general liability, property, and casualty insurance. And I am going to suggest for your consideration that page 1, lines 28 and 29, that between life, that you just add health insurance. I did give, I think, a proposal to you, but after consultation with a number of others, I have been convinced that the health is the only area that really needs to be included in that area.
Mr. Chairman, may I interject?
Mr. Block, please do.
In the amendments that we're going to propose to you, that is already included as one of the agreed amendments.
He's been accommodated.
He has been.
Okay.
Then I will withdraw, sir.
Great. Thank you. Very much, Dr. Chairman. Mr. George, have any comment on this bill?
Only that all parties worked very hard to come up with a reasonable consensus, and I commend them for that.
Is there anyone else who wishes to make a comment on this bill? We will be hearing tomorrow to hopefully pass out of committee a committee's substitute of the bill pursuant to the work that's been done on the bill. If there's not, we will set House Bill 506 aside. Next, I would like to set up Bill 443. This was Senator Halper's bill. It was part of the tort package. It would give the claims closed information. There is one difficulty with the community substitute that we have here. We have a single subject column in that requiring attorneys to, the bill would basically require reporting. I did work this out with Mr. Block, and the industry is in support of this study. Ms. Lapierre. Senator Halper has had some, wanted to discuss this, and I don't want to do it when he's not here, so I'd like to just set this aside.
Let me ask John George while he's here.
Yes.
Chairman, are you guys supporting this bill at this point?
John George, Director of Insurance. This bill has changed so much from the various drafts. I saw, I guess last night was the last draft on it. I have no problem with gathering information. I think, you know, there is a lack of information in certain areas, and I have no problem with that. There are a couple of problems I have, I guess, just on how it's going to work, and I guess in these short times it's going to be interesting to see how we can just pass something and make it work. But for instance, it says that we will appoint a study reporter position or person. Does that really mean I appoint one, or do we go through the personnel system? And at what range would you hire a person to do that? I don't know. So I don't have a fiscal note on this, but I assume we're talking about a range 16 or 18 person. I would estimate that we'll probably get 150,000 to 200,000 reports a year under this, because you're talking about every automobile accident where there's bodily injury. There's a lot of those, and so we're talking about a real volume. We're going to have to design some forms to do this. I suppose that can be done. There's a lot of confidentiality in it. I really haven't had a chance to work out in my own mind exactly how. If you pass the bill, we will do our best to make it work, find it. But there's some real questions in my mind, and I don't know that there's time to resolve those either. That's the real comment I have. But I support gathering the information. I think all of the arguments on tort reform, pro and con, have indicated that there's a lot of things that we don't know, and one way to find out is to get that type of information.
Any further questions for Mr. George? No. Thank you very much, sir. I will set this bill aside anyway. I think it would be inappropriate to deal with the bill when this project with own committee is not good, and I will talk with Mr. Senator Alford later on today. I'd like to take up next House Bill 563. This is this bill relates to the duties of the Commission on Judicial Conduct and public sanctions imposed on judges. Is there anyone here to testify on this bill? There is some commentary that has come with the bill. The bill is very, very simple in that in retention election for a judicial officer, the amendment that this bill adds would allow a brief statement describing the public sanction that was imposed on the judge. And Section 2 of the bill would require a reprimand be sent to the Judicial Council in addition to the Chief Justice. Are there any questions on this bill? I think the bill is very simple.
You want to move the bill, Mr. Chairman?
I'd rather put it in the bill ready file and this time, and rather than move it out of committee. There is
one inconsistency in the bill, I'll tell you that.
What is that, sir?
A brief statement, and then it qualifies it by saying it may not be more, it may not exceed 600 words. Do you know how many words 600 words is?
3 pages.
Yep, right.
That would, of course, depend on how much difficulty the judge in question had. It could be less than 600 words.
Would be if I wrote it.
Probably considerably less than 600 if you wrote it, Senator Ziegler. I suppose it's better to err on the side of fairness to the official involved.
One final.
Yes.
There's an election bill floating through that changes 75 days to, I believe, July 15th for candidates. So we should probably change that either on the
candidate.
I guess if the election bill is going to go, and that's kind of a consistent. I didn't staff check, but I think it's July 15th.
House Bill 563 aside, and if you could have Ms. Lockyer check on the requirements that are in the election bill.
It's a House bill that's currently in Senate
Legislative Affairs Committee. Next, I'd like to take a House Bill 544.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Janet Sykes, and I'm from Representative Phillips. They're under a call of the House, and we can't get away right now. Sally Smith from Department of Revenue.
From Representative Smith, are you here to testify on this bill? What I'll do is I have if you go ahead and testify on behalf of the representative, as we always allow the plaintiff to go first.
In your packets, I believe there's a memorandum from the representative along with a sectional analysis of the bill passed by the House. Representative Phillips introduced this bill because a problem was brought to his attention by his constituent. Mr. Parrish, who does have a letter in the packet that was passed out to the Senate Judiciary Committee, runs a business by the name of Northland Enterprises. There is another one or more businesses in the state doing business under that name, Mr. Parrish's business has had some problems with the creditors coming after his business, thinking that he was a business that was bad debtor. And Representative Phillips introduced House Bill 544 to try and help with that problem, basically.
As I read the bill, the problem is that it would prohibit Yellow Cab from, you would have a Fairbanks Yellow Cab, an Anchorage Yellow Cab, and a Juneau Yellow Cab, and one of them could be Yellow Cab under the state laws of Alaska. The other two would, of course, have to change their name.
You have Yellow Cabs in Ketchikan, too.
Three of the four. And that is the problem that the administration will testify, presumably on that point. Well, what is quick response? I was hoping Director Phelps would be here. It obviously is a problem if you can't have yellow cabs or Joe's Plumbing, and there can only be one in the state. How do you propose to deal with that? It seems the cure is worse than the problem.
I don't know, Senator Rohde. Representative Phillips has been doing most of the work on this. It's
a difficult and perhaps unfair question to ask you. But I would just pose that to you as a question.
Ms. Smith, may know she was involved with the drafting of the substitute that finally passed the House.
I'd be happy to.
I'm finished. I'm sorry. I'm not much help to the committee. But
any question besides? If not, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Would you like to go next? Because I've got a green.
All right.
Ms. Smith, you have the floor on behalf of the administration.
Thank you, Senator Rohde. This is shaky. I'm Sally Smith, Director of Public Services for the Department of Revenue. The bill does have a few problems of local significance, where a duplication of names would not affect someone. You know, Fairbanks, Anchorage, Juneau, they're far enough removed that there wouldn't be a problem in which was which or general conflict. The remainder of the bill, however, we're quite interested in, as it would solve many of the business license issuance problems. And I'd like to just speak briefly to those and point them out.
If you could.
We favor very much a biennial issuance of the business licenses instead of an annual issuance. And we favor very much being able to issue on an anniversary date renewal instead of calendar year renewal. As happens now, we have an extremely limited staff, and within 35 to 60 days, we get approximately 70,000 requests for business license issuance. As a result, we are behind. As a result, contractors have difficulty bidding on, answering bids. Additionally, this would clear up some confidentiality problems between among corporations' occupational licensing and the Department of Revenue, so that we could share a joint database and not have triple entry in some cases of corporations who also need occupational licenses and consequently business licenses. Then we would be able to issue a business license at our service centers without having to make a phone call or wait until the person has a document in hand from the other divisions. thus facilitating instant pickup of the business licenses in the regional centers of the state and reducing the incredible mail workload that comes through our office in that short period of time. We think there would be fewer errors and obviously better service to the public. So we are emphasizing those points in the bill and feel that there would ultimately probably need to be some cleanup legislation on the duplication of names as we see how much problem that creates.
I don't have an answer for that problem.
One answer might be, Senator, if I may. Mr. Chair, this is a from this day forward bill. And so we would not be in a position of going back over those who already have business names and extinguishing one. It's what happens from here forward. It also doesn't apply to use of a person's name. So, you know, Sally's Hair Care could be in Fairbanks and Sally's Hair Care could be in Anchorage and it could be separate operations.
Obviously, we have taken a great interest in prospective application of certain rules lately. A problem comes up, and that's, of course, with in addition to the use of personal names, we have to write some of these exceptions in the law. Franchises, of course, that we don't anticipate now, which obviously would, what we'd like to see in Alaska is, in terms of economic development, would fall under this prohibition. So if a Kiwi Fruit franchise became the rage next year, we'd be able to use that.
Mr. Chair, we're not crazy about looking up all these names.
I suspect it's probably... are there any further questions? If not, thank you very much. Do we have someone else testify?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Derek Carroll. I'm with the Division of Banking Securities and Corporation of Commerce. We suggest that there is already a statute on the books that accomplishes the purpose, the primary purpose of this legislation. However, I do share Sally's concerns that about the curative things in it that for the business license, and certainly those provisions perhaps should be dealt with because I think they accomplish good things for them. 1035040 provides for the registration of a business name now and creates a private right of action for anyone who registers his business name. The operative language is registration of the name gives the exclusive right to the use of the name, and the person who has registered the name may enjoin the use of the same name or deceptively similar name and has a cause of action for damages against anyone who uses the same or deceptively similar name. I suggest to you that anyone who avails themselves of that particular section protects his name, and perhaps this is duplicative thereof. And if you adopt this, maybe you should get rid of that, or maybe you shouldn't adopt it in this bill and just leave the existing legislation. The other question that I have been asked to raise with you is, do we really want to allow that, a law that will only allow one business name in a state that's as large as Alaska in terms of its size? And is it a mortal sin to have a shop in Wrangell, a shop in Fairbanks, and a shop in Homer? And I can show you from records that we have obtained that in fact they exist now. And we have the shop in Homer, the shop in Antioch, the shop in Fairbanks, the shop in Skagway, Anchorage, Haines, Valdez, Saldovia, McGrath, and Wrangell.
But Mr. Chairman, why can't they just call it the Anchorage shop, the Saldovia shop?
I suspect they can. But they have chosen.
There is a for liability purposes. If nothing else, they may wish to incorporate separately and have separate corporations with.
Okay. Now, under the corporation scheme, these were drawn from the business license registry. Under the corporation scheme, the existing law precludes it. We would not allow the registration of a corporation with that deceptively similar name. It simply would not occur.
Mr. Chairman, did I misunderstand something? When you said the shop, these are all separate businesses under separate owners, right?
Affirmative. These are DBAs, doing business as. These are not corporate entities. under the existing law, we do not permit deceptive, dissimilar, or same under the corporate statutes. But we could have a corporation with a name deceptively similar to a DBA, to a business name, because we don't have a common database file now. One of the other things that this would, we don't have any fiscal note attached to this bill, because we've determined that perhaps revenue and occupational licensing can go onto the mainframe computer with their data, making it accessible with our own and so forth and so on. But we anticipate there'll be about a 2-week lag in updating that periodically. So currently you can call corporations and find out if a name is available or whether it's not. We will no longer be able to do that over the telephone. It will require that it be done by mail, because we're going to have a 2-week lag. Our counters will not be able to give that immediate information.
Any questions for Mr. Carroll? If not, thank you very much, Mr. Burton. I like the pace. There is a difficulty if we wish to retain the language that is beneficial to the department because of the title. The title relates to businesses' licenses and the use of business names, and I'm going to have to take a look to see whether it's it is possible.
Mr. Chairman, first of all, could the record show that I'm here, please? Secondly, the Rules Committee is up to here with resolutions changing titles. I hope we don't have to do that.
No, I submit that the bill will probably expire either in committee or in transit, before it will get a title resolution. On the other hand, I wish to help those businesses that would be materially aided by this piece of legislation. We'll have an answer by tomorrow for that. I mean, I just want to alert Edward to that type of problem. That is the end of the bills for today. Our committee is adjourned.
I heard my stereo upstairs.
Okay. I guess we will be back.